This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trump va a Mexico. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka on this Wednesday, August 31. Welcome aboard, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Presidential nominee Donald Trump has made a surprise announcement saying he'll meet with the president of Mexico before tonight's speech on immigration. The two have not seen eye to eye.
Three notable names on Capitol Hill have won primary elections: McCain, Rubio, and Wasserman Schultz.
More trouble for performer Chris Brown. The singer was involved in a standoff with police at his Los Angeles home where a woman had called for help.
And food price deflation. Good for consumers, not so good for farmers and grocery stores.
We really have a glut. Back in 2014, prices were rising. Farmers increased the size of their herds. They increased the amount of corn and soybeans that they were producing. And now we just have too much.
Wall Street Journal reporter Heather Haddon explains why we have food price deflation and the ripple effects it causes. She's here in about 20 minutes. Wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall for this one? Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump will have a quick meeting today in Mexico with President Enrique Peña Nieto, just prior to giving a campaign speech on immigration. After the meeting, each will make a public statement, but there will be no questions. And that's too bad. Meanwhile, Mr. Trump addressed the subject of illegals during remarks yesterday in Everett, Washington.
We are also going to secure our border and stop the drugs from pouring in and destroying our country.
As you know, Mr. Trump has repeatedly promised to build a wall to keep out illegals and says he'll get Mexico to pay for it. As you may also know, Mexico's president told CNN back in July that there was no way Mexico would pay for a border wall. Three high-profile incumbent members of Congress have won primary victories ahead of the November election. Republican Senators Marco Rubio of Florida and John McCain of Arizona were victorious last night, as was Florida Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz on the Democratic side. All were favored in their races but faced stronger challenges than usual. Mr. McCain edged out Tea Party conservative challenger Kelly Ward and two others.
There's a lot at stake in this election, my friends, no matter who wins the presidency. A stronger economy that offers the dignity of honest work and a fair chance to prosper to all Americans, no matter where they started in life.
In Florida, Rubio easily defeated anti-establishment millionaire candidate Carlos Baruff. Ms. Wasserman Schultz, the former head of the Democratic National Committee, won last night despite being pushed out of her DNC job amid allegations that she and other Democratic officials had worked backhandedly against presidential candidate Bernie Sanders. Mr. Sanders endorsed her challenger, Tim Canova, pouring nearly $4 million into that race. Well, Republicans are hoping to replicate the current campaign success in Ohio, at least at the Senate level. Incumbent Senator Rob Portman right now has a sizable lead in his race against former Ohio Governor Ted Strickland. Mr. Portman has endorsed Donald Trump for president and is outpacing Mr. Trump by double digits in the state. James Arkin at Real Clear Politics says Republicans point to Mr. Portman's campaign as a lesson in how to run a down-ballot race in 2016 and think he's positioned himself to win whether or not Democrat Hillary Clinton carries the state on a presidential level. James, what are you seeing?
What we've seen over the last couple of weeks is a trend where a lot of these Republican senators that were leading in their races earlier in the summer are being dragged down in the polls by Donald Trump. Trump in states like New Hampshire and Pennsylvania has fallen off in recent polling, and we've seen Democratic Senate candidates able to overtake the Republican incumbents in part because of Donald Trump's struggles in those states. But Ohio has been different. Donald Trump is losing the state in our averages by about 4 points to Hillary Clinton, and yet Rob Portman, the incumbent Republican senator, is beating Ted Strickland, the former governor of the state, the Democratic candidate for Senate, by about 7.5 points. So he's seriously outpacing Donald Trump right now, and Republicans are pointing to Ohio as sort of the prime example of how to run a down-ballot campaign in an election cycle where the top of the ticket may otherwise be a drag.
And Senator Portman has endorsed Mr. Trump, correct?
He has. He's endorsed Mr. Trump. He has stood by that endorsement, but he has also distanced himself. He's spoken out a couple of times on Trump's more controversial comments, and he has not yet appeared on the campaign trail with him. It doesn't look like he's interested in campaigning with Trump in the state, but he has stood by his endorsement of him.
All right, so what's different about Ohio then, James, from these other races?
When you talk to national Republicans and Republicans in Ohio, what you hear from them is that this is really about the type of campaign that Rob Portman ran. Long before Donald Trump even started running for president and well before he earned the Republican nomination, Portman had a campaign infrastructure put in place, getting hundreds and hundreds of volunteers, getting a significant number of interns, and starting last year, very early in the cycle, with their voter outreach, they've now contacted more than 3 million voters. They are putting together a very sophisticated data analytics model. Actually, Senator Portman told me in an interview last week that he's basing a lot of his data analytics and grassroots outreach on President Obama's campaigns, his successful campaigns in Ohio in 2008 and 2012. And they've also been the beneficiary of a $30 million in Republican spending that has attacked Ted Strickland over and over again on his record as governor. Mm. And it's really dragged down Strickland's favorability in the state, and it's caused him a real problem in the polls.
We're speaking with James Arkin, congressional reporter at Real Clear Politics. His piece is called Portman Shows How GOP Senators Can Outpace Trump. And he's taking a look at that Ohio Senate race featuring incumbent Republican Rob Portman. What about this, too? Goes back to that old phrase of all politics is local.
Yeah, that's essentially, if you could boil down Rob Portman's strategy into one sentence, it would be exactly that. It would be all politics is local. He has focused intensely on the heroin and opioid drug addiction problems in the state. He has focused on the economy in the state. He has made a significant outreach. I had a story on this last week to Appalachian voters in Ohio coal country, talking about energy issues for them. And he's somehow, where other Republican senators have failed, he has succeeded in making sure that the conversation stays on those local issues. I mean, obviously, all of the Republican senators are focusing on local issues, but a lot of the conversation in other states is getting dragged to the top of the ticket and talking about Trump. And Portman has kept the conversation on these local issues, and he has reached out to voters on these issues over and over again, and he's succeeded where, a lot of people thought Senate Republicans wouldn't be able to succeed this year, which is keeping politics local. It's really hard to do in a presidential cycle, but to this point, he's been successful at it.
Thanks, James. James Arkin, congressional reporter at Real Clear Politics. 14 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. If you're looking to grow or relocate your business, there are three numbers you should know. 10, 2000, and 6. 10 stands for Michigan being one of America's top 10 states for business. 2000 is the number of burdensome regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years. And 6 stands for Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climates. All those numbers add up to the one state that has all that and more. Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. That's MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. Glad you could spend some time with us on this Wednesday. Trouble continues for rapper Chris Brown. The 27-year-old was arrested yesterday on suspicion of assault with a deadly weapon following a standoff with police who were responding to a woman's call for help at his home in Los Angeles. Strangely, Mr. Brown posted two videos on Instagram from inside the house. In one of them, he denied wrongdoing, called police idiots, and referred to them as the worst gang in the world. Lieutenant Chris Ramirez is a spokesman for the LA Police.
Conducting an investigation is now stemmed that has become an ADW investigation, assault with a deadly weapon investigation.
Meanwhile, KABC reports that cops have visited his home 5 times in the past year. Mr. Brown, as you might recall, was sentenced to 5 years of probation back in 2009 for hitting his then-girlfriend, Rihanna. In 2013, he struck a man outside a Washington hotel and was charged with assault. He was kicked out of rehab for violating the rules. In another incident, while in anger management treatment, Mr. Brown allegedly threw a brick at his mother's car following a counseling session. He was reportedly bailed out for $250,000 for this latest incident. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, in a surprise move, Donald Trump is traveling to Mexico today, just hours before he'll deliver a highly anticipated speech on immigration. Trump will meet with Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto. The Republican nominee has been trying to clarify his stand on illegal immigration, and in a speech last night in Washington State, he repeated his opposition to taking in refugees.
We are going to stop the Syrian refugees from entering the United States and instead build a safe zone overseas.
The Islamic State group says one of its longest-serving and most prominent leaders, Abu Muhammad al-Adnani, was killed in Syria, depriving the organization of the man in charge of directing attacks overseas. It was al-Adnani who urged ISIS followers to take up any and all weapons, guns, rocks, cars to attack the U.S. Parts of Florida's Gulf Coast are under a hurricane watch as a tropical system bears down on the state. Governor Rick Scott says the state's ready for the approaching storm, but residents shouldn't take any chances.
We are going to have storm surge. We are going to have rain. We are going to have flooding. And we have the potential of tornadoes, and we're going to have rip currents. Everybody has to be prepared.
Before the rain hits, the first commercial flight between the United States and Cuba in more than half a century is scheduled to fly from Fort Lauderdale to the central city of Santa Clara this morning. The 72-minute JetBlue flight will reestablish regular air service severed at the height of the Cold War. You may be seeing more ads on Twitter. The social media platform's rolling out a system where popular tweeters can opt into showing ads that would run before people can view the content they've created. The creators have an incentive to sign up since they'll be getting a 70% cut of the revenue. The creators have to get the green light from Twitter before they can take part. Australian personal finance website Finder.com has come up with a robotic handbag to keep you on budget. Program it with your vulnerable spending zones, and when you enter one, the bag will vibrate, flash, and self-lock until you leave the area. It's called the iBag 2, and it could be yours for $5,000 if enough people sign up to have one made.
How about that?
It will lock.
That's something. You know what that is? That's like the theory where if you're going to buy something expensive, sit on that thought for 24 hours and see if you still want it that badly the following day. It's almost like what this bag represents.
It works a little faster, right, though.
If you don't want it, of course, just don't bring the bag if you want to buy something that you must have. Thank you, Rasa. It's 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Former football star Tim Tebow, trying to take his career in a different direction, held a workout to showcase his baseball skills. 28 out of 30 major league teams showed up to see him at the University of Southern California yesterday. His overall performance was said to be a mixed bag, although he did crush a batting practice home run that traveled an estimated 430 feet. At least one report said he received an offer from a team in Venezuela. That said, there are lessons to be learned about career changes from Tim. Here's MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill. Katie, like what?
One, I mean, he's lucky, but you first need to shore up your finances before you make the switch, right? So he has enough money to do this. He can afford to make a mistake. If this doesn't work out for him, well, he'll just keep broadcasting, which is what he's been doing for ESPN. This isn't such a big deal for him. Same thing for you. I mean, you don't need to shore up millions of dollars, but you do need to know that you have enough money to try, you know, as you're trying to get a job, as you're trying to build up, you know, the income that you used to have, that you have enough money to kind of make that work for a while.
Mm. I mean, he's got a certain skill set, too, that may translate, right? I mean, he's a phenomenal athlete, Heisman Trophy winner, professional football player, so there must be something there, at least
mentally and physically. Yeah, no, and he used to play baseball.
Yeah.
That was one of my points, too. You got to really assess your skills. He was quite a good baseball player in high school. He went on to play football, of course. But I think, you know, he does have maybe a better shot than a lot of people do. This isn't a totally crazy jump. And it's the same thing for someone trying to switch careers. Really look at your skill set and think, do I really have this? And can I practice, you know, or, you know, he's been practicing for a year. But can I work on this for a certain amount of time to really hone this skill? And those were two of my points, exactly what you just said. Put the time in and be honest with yourself about your skills.
All right, so that physical practicing of baseball for a full year from him would translate to you and I, for example, like, I don't know, taking an online course, right, or seminars.
Doing an internship, even if it's unpaid in your spare time. But yeah, I mean, those kinds of things where, you know, maybe you don't have a certain skill that this new job is looking for, but you have some other skills, you know, just shoring that up, putting those classes on your resume, putting the internship on your resume, things like that.
We're speaking with MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill. She's got an interesting piece entitled Five Things Tim Tebow Can Teach You About Switching Careers. And then there's this, as you point out, find credible people to champion you, meaning what?
This I didn't think so, but so Tebow has his agents. He's got other people in the sports world saying, oh, he's really good, blah, blah, blah. For you, you kind of need that too. So if you know somebody inside the company that you're looking to go to, and many of you probably won't, but you got to network. You got to find people who are really in the kinds of jobs that you want or in the positions to hire and you want. Start networking. Go to those events. You know, look at your LinkedIn, your Facebook, and try to find them. But that helps almost as much as anything, right? Somebody from the inside championing you, like, hey, your resume doesn't, you know, it's not like you have 10 years of experience doing this exact job, but I see how this could fit in. This person's really great. Somebody to vouch for you all the time is really essential.
And he got that at least a little bit, right? You had a tweet in your story from a former major leaguer, Gary Sheffield.
Right, who said, here's a quote, I spent time with Tim Tebow in the cages recently. He's a natural. I absolutely believe in his ability to play in the bigs. Tim is focused. I mean, there was a ton of that. There was a lot of people, not just his agents, but like other people were saying, you know, he is actually really good, you know. And so there was a kind of a lot of that going around on social media. That doesn't hurt. That's certainly going to get the teams at least like, oh, hey, maybe I'll go check him out. You know, I think that's really important. And for other people to do the same thing if they can.
Thanks, Katie. Market Watch reporter Katie Hill. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at Dell.com/radio.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Hey, thanks for being with us on this Wednesday, August 31st. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Trump meets with Mexico's president today. State Department says more work-related emails have been recovered from Hillary Clinton's server, and Fox News says they deal with Benghazi, at least a few of them. Bloomberg says the home button will vanish for the next iPhone. 2 tropical depressions approach the East Coast. Hurricane targeting Hawaii. New wave of flights from the U.S. to Cuba begins today. Another run-in with police for rapper Chris Brown. You got to see Indians pitcher Zach McAllister catch a line drive that first hit his calf. And Vladimir Putin arrested at a Florida grocery store. That story in about 20 minutes. It's time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. If you're looking to take your business to the top, turn to the state that's doing the same, Michigan. Learn more at michiganbusiness.org. You may have noticed that the prices for kitchen staples like milk, eggs, and bread have been holding steady or trending downward. That's because the U.S. is on track this year to post the longest stretch of falling food prices in more than 50 years. A streak that benefits us as shoppers in the checkout line, but a streak that's putting a financial strain on farmers and, of course, grocery stores. More from Wall Street Journal reporter Heather Haddon. Heather, what's going on?
So we're on the verge of seeing a recent record for month-over-month deflation in food prices and core commodities. So think of your bread, milk, dairy, cheese, things like that. So for shoppers, this is obviously good news. They are seeing much lower prices in these core commodities at grocery stores than they have in years. But for farmers and retailers, this has not been good times for them. So just to step back a second, there's been quite a bit of production in grains, in dairy, in these commodities have been quite a bit of production in the last few years. And so now we really have a glut. Back in 2014, prices were rising. Farmers increased the size of their herds. They increased the amount of corn and soybeans that they were producing. And now we just have too much. There's too much on the market. And along with oil prices, which are still quite low, have really caused prices in these commodities to tank. So
right.
For farmers, they're now really facing tough choices. It's been 3 years of these declining commodity prices for them. We're starting to see that trickle and ripple into farm equipment sales. So, say for John Deere, they just had a really bad earnings showing when they were reporting in August. They're going to have layoffs. Farmers are having to make real decisions about what they're going to do, how they're going to invest, because this glut just hasn't turned around. Now, on the grocery side, inflation is one way that grocers can continue to see their earnings go up. And again, grocery is a really thin margin business.
Yeah.
So when you have month over month of prices going down, so in the opposite direction than they want, it really starts to eat into their margins. So we've just seen this across the board for major grocers and food distributors, that they're really hurting with these price decreases.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Heather Haddon. Her piece is called "Food Price Deflation Cheers Consumers, Hurts Farmers, Grocers, and Restaurants." How long could this last? Any way to judge that?
So, yeah, we really don't know. But currently, from what we're hearing from retailers, a lot of them expect this to to keep going through the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. So 1% to 2% deflation to continue through the end of 2016. We'll have to see from the Bureau of Labor Statistics if that's what they predict. They are seeing some different things moving around. And, you know, just to note, again, this is in core commodities. So if you're a lover of organic produce, you're not benefiting from this. Or if you're just buying soup, you know, packaged goods aren't benefiting from this. But in some of these staple categories, that's where we're expected to see deflation to continue probably through the end of the year.
What does this mean for, say, restaurants and their customers?
So two things for restaurants. It's a bit of a double-edged sword. On the one hand, it means their input costs are a lot lower. So I have one example from one particular grocery store in California that has a wholesale business. So their egg sales are way up, but the profits they're receiving from the eggs are way down. Mm-hmm. Because just the prices have fallen so much that their restaurant consumers are getting a real deal. But at the same time, this spread between food at home and food out has yawned into historic proportions. So it is just much cheaper to buy groceries and cook at home if you're so inclined than going out to restaurants. Now the question is, are people really influenced by that?
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
Younger generations like to eat out. They're not necessarily going to stop doing that. So it really depends on kind of your market and your demographic, whether you're going to decide to just eat at home or not.
Thanks, Heather. Wall Street Journal reporter Heather Haddon. 20 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. If you like a little cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly on Twitter @GordonDeal. Mailing your letters and packages has just gotten a lot easier thanks to Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can mail and ship anything, anywhere, using just your computer and printer. No more trips to the post office, and it's so easy. Anyone can do it. Just click, print, and mail. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage right from your desk. Stamps.com does all the work for you. The setup is easy, too. In minutes, you'll be printing your very own postage. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, which includes postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com, then enter the code Deal. Again, visit Stamps.com and enter the code Deal. Glad you could spend some time with us on this Wednesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, this is fast becoming the summer of scary clown stories. You've probably heard about Gags the Clown, who walked ominously through the streets of Green Bay, Wisconsin this summer, scaring some residents in what turned out to be nothing more than an elaborate moving marketing ploy. And now, perhaps inspired by the antics of Gags, South Carolina residents are on alert following reports that clowns have been approaching children and have even tried to lure them into nearby woods. The Huffington Post says that the creepy sightings near a Greenville apartment complex began nearly 2 weeks ago when a resident said that her son saw clowns whispering and making strange noises in the nearby woods. Several children have also said that the clowns have tried to persuade them into the woods by displaying large amounts of money.
Oh boy.
The complex's management has sent out a warning to residents to be on the lookout and not to leave their children unsupervised out at night.
Yikes.
I think that's good advice no matter what.
Well, you're not
clowns
kidding.
Or no clowns.
Yeah, even in the daylight.
Yes.
If some clown...
Yeah.
And that's not in quotes.
Yeah,
it's often
yeah.
You,
yes, literally, not figuratively.
Yeah, fistfuls of cash.
Yeah.
Walk into the woods. Yeah, not good. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like anything has happened. I mean, again, this just, could just be someone, you know, trying to play a prank, but
yeah.
It's a scary situation. And people already have a fear of clowns as
yeah,
it is.
Of
I mean,
course.
About half of the people that I talk to already have a fear of clowns. And this just only makes it worse. And in another scary situation in an apartment complex that turned out to be okay, but not before hazmat teams were called out over possible air contamination. Some residents of a building in Rochester, New York, were coughing and some even had trouble breathing after one of their neighbors decided that microwaving a hot pepper was a good idea.
Ooh.
The first responders said that the microwaving caused the chemical capsaicin, which causes the pepper's spicy flavor to become airborne. They said the result was similar to pepper spray. Thankfully, no one required medical attention and residents were allowed back into the building in short order.
Did you say a hot pepper?
Apparently it was a hot pepper.
And not a bunch of hot peppers?
Yeah, they didn't say specifically what pepper it was.
Holy
obviously
cow.
a pungent variety. But this just always just reminds me of apartment living and how much I hated apartment living.
Yeah.
And how much I'm glad that, you know, the more
Jeez.
Space you can have between your neighbors. Because imagine this, one hot pepper in one microwave causes the evacuation of an entire building full
yeah.
of people. You know, causes, you know, the fire department comes in and then hazmat suits and the whole thing.
I would have never have imagined that pepper could do something like that in a
yeah.
microwave. Wow. I made the mistake of ordering like those super hot wings in college one time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And then thinking beer was a good way to wash
no.
it down. No. Of course, the alcohol enhanced that and made it worse. We didn't have milk to
right.
help. So our solution, grab a loaf of bread
oh.
and press bread slices against our burning faces. That was how
Did
we
it work?
Solved it. It worked.
All right.
They were. I mean, we look like idiots, but it worked.
You know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, that was a night of survival for sure. Not a good night. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Rasa Kay is back. She has more of America's First News.
Gordon, Donald Trump made a quick addition to his itinerary overnight. The Republican nominee tweeted that he's accepted an invitation from Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto to travel to Mexico City. Later, Trump will make a speech in Arizona in which he plans to clarify his immigration policy. Just yesterday, at a speech in Washington State, he hinted at the wall.
We are also going to secure our border and stop the drugs from pouring in and destroying our country.
Hillary Clinton's campaign is not impressed with Trump's detour to Mexico today. A statement from the Democratic presidential nominee says that what matters are Trump's words to voters on this side of the border, not in Mexico. Today could be the day that the FBI makes public a dozen pages of notes from Clinton's voluntary interview during the investigation into her use of a private email server. Multiple sources also say the agency is going to release its 30-page report to the Justice Department recommending no criminal charges against Clinton. A hurricane watch is in effect for parts of Florida's Gulf Coast because of Tropical Depression 9 in the Gulf of Mexico. Forecasters say it looks set to strengthen into Tropical Storm Hermine today, with landfall possible late tomorrow. Governor Rick Scott says the time to prepare is now.
Everybody here, they're experienced. They know what to do, but you have to do your part. Like the mayor said, don't drive in standing water. Get a plan. Watch the news. Watch the weather. Be careful.
North Carolina's Outer Banks will likely be drenched as a tropical weather system blows by with up to 5 inches of heavy rain. Former NFL quarterback Tim Tebow is getting mixed reviews for his Major League Baseball tryout. About 25 clubs were on hand for yesterday's workout in L.A. Tebow went 8-for-19 with 2 doubles and 3 strikeouts. French researchers gave kids iPads to distract them before operations requiring general anesthesia and found it lowered their anxiety levels as well as a sedative. They found that playing on the tablet can act as a calming force and reduce separation anxiety ahead of surgery for children ages 4 to 10.
That's good news. They always, I think we always misjudge the resiliency of kids, too, in situations like that.
Yeah, now they can come up with something chemical-free for the parents in the waiting room.
Yes. Yes, very good. It's a very unsettling sight, by the way. I saw my daughter get put under for some tests she was having and watching her just sort of go limp when she was really little in my wife's arms. Oh, man.
You were pretty limp at the time, too, I'm sure. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to need to lie down here for a minute before I collapse. Thanks, Rasa. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
It seems that an international scandal has been avoided in South Florida despite the arrest of someone with a very familiar name. A man named Vladimir Putin has apparently been charged with trespassing and resisting arrest in his hometown of West Palm Beach. Yes, the 28-year-old shares the name of the current president of Russia, Vladimir Putin. Reports say Mr. Putin could be heard screaming at employees in a Publix grocery store. He allegedly refused to leave when prompted to do so by the managers. According to CBS 12, he told police he missed his ride. He was being held at a detention center in Palm Beach County. Police originally listed him as John Doe because he refused to give any personal information. A police report lists him as having the same name as the Russian president. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa K, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.